This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Go to 105.3thefan.com and you can find this story from Mike Fisher earlier today, and it's a doozy. All right, so the Mavericks, there was a big question when the Mavericks traded for him, because you have an opportunity to offer him a whole ton of money, but is he going to sign that contract for a whole ton of money? And that was the big question mark. And from all we understand, Kristaps is looking at this situation as the perfect situation for him. He wants to be here. He's even made the comment on social media. He said, "I've been feeling great, and I expect a better version of myself when I come back and hoop again." Now, here's the deal. The Mavericks have said that they will they have prepared a 5:01 p.m. offer. Immediately when the legal window opens, they will offer Kristaps Porzingis $158 million in 5 years to stay a Maverick.
Okay.
877-881-1053. Is that the right thing for the Mavericks to do? And that's a lot of money. That is a lot of money to give to this one guy who has injury problems, has not played, I think, more than 40 games. It's a weird number of games that he's missed. He had some other problems in the offseason, has another thing looming at the moment. Mm-hmm. And quite honestly, you have no clue how this dude works with your team. But Rick Carlisle did say he was working 5-on-5 practices on March 13th, and Rick Carlisle said he looked fabulous.
That's awesome. That's great. You really hope that the Mavericks have done their due diligence on every single part, and that they're doing even more with the training staff and trying to set up something that will limit his inability to ward off injury. You're wanting to be able to trust that this guy's going to be on the court a lot more times than he's not on the court, especially if you're throwing that kind of money around with him. But also not knowing where the Mavericks are going to go also in free agency and who else they're going to acquire. And then what if the guy you get's really good and he works really good with Luka, and the guy that doesn't is the guy that you've locked up for all the money?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a concern, right?
That is a major concern.
That you spent the money on the wrong dude when maybe you could have spent the money on somebody else. I think one of the things the Mavericks are looking at is they're saying to themselves, they're just excited. Like, I feel like they think if they don't land anybody huge, in Patrick Beverley, I think we all feel like that would be a really good land for the Mavericks because of the defensive effort you get from the guy.
Right.
He's one of those dudes that gets in your face. I just saw him and Tobias Harris tweeting back and forth to each other. And I almost quote tweeted it at 105.3 The Fan just to point that out. There was a little girl that was at Pat Bev's camp, his little basketball camp, and she was just all over this other little girl. And Tobias Harris was like, "Dude, did she go to your camp or something?" He was like, "Absolutely she did," because that's the kind of defense that he likes to play. And so I think that if the Mavericks got just him, and had Kristaps and Luka, they feel like they have a chance to play, you know, to run with something better than what they had last year. You may look at the numbers and say all these things about, man, this is not the kind of basketball you want because who's rebounding the ball? And that might be a terror for the Mavericks. But I think they feel pretty happy about what they have with those two guys at the moment. And I think that their feeling is that other people are going to want to play with them. And that's going to be a big deal to them. Here's a quote from Rick Carlisle about him, though. He said he's doing a lot of stuff behind the scenes. He's a tremendous talent. That's obvious. He's a great kid, meticulous on how he approaches things, very detailed, extremely hardworking and organized with everything he does. And those are all traits of a guy that has a chance to be tremendously great. The size, the stroke, all those things are there.
Right.
But I think Rick Carlisle is all about those details. He benefited from having Dirk for, you know, the majority of his career as a head coach with the Mavericks, or all of his career as a head coach with the Mavericks, because you never had to worry about Dirk. And I think those qualities he's hoping Luka and Kristaps have, I don't know if they do or not.
No.
I don't know that.
Well, you almost hope that a mixture of those two can find the what Dirk was, because you have the happy-go-lucky, the, you know, just being a goof but also being a superstar in Luka, and then maybe the meticulous and then the leadership might come from Kristaps. I'm not sure how it would be received, because we've heard that this guy is also a super diva. Now, is that, because that word would never get anywhere near Dirk. Does that ruin your leadership if somebody sees you as that?
I mean, maybe, but one thing I also want to caution us to do is we don't necessarily need to find the next Dirk. I think we all love Dirk for the reason of he is a unique individual.
He might be a one-of-a-kind player.
Right, and even though we call Kristaps a unicorn, like, that does not mean that he is Dirk Nowitzki. And I think we don't need to necessarily try and find those qualities in that guy. I think what we need to do is...
Is that what Jerry had the biggest problem with? He was always trying to find Troy, Emmett, and Michael again and trying to replace that, and it was never the right thing.
That's a possibility.
And so, but I agree with you on that.
Well, and, like, you can get leadership out of other guys. Your best player doesn't necessarily have to be your leader guy. It'd be great if it was. But there's possibilities, and there's teams that have won where your leader guy isn't necessarily your best player. Look at someone like a Derek Fisher on some of those teams that he's played with, especially like those Lakers teams of the early aughts. He was kind of leader guy. However, you had the talent elsewhere, and you had like the fiery competitiveness elsewhere. So, like, I think you can build it in a different way. We don't have to be locked in on that Dirk Nowitzki style.
I do want, like, when you look at the Warriors, who was their leader?
Probably Andre Iguodala.
Yeah.
Interesting. Because there's part of me that agrees with that. Who was their best player?
Steph
and
then KD.
Steph, yeah.
Interchangeably, or
no, Steph when KD wasn't on the team, and then KD when he got there.
Okay. Right. See, and that's the thing. I always thought of Steph as the leader because everybody kind of rallies around him, and I think Iggy does that. He said
actually.
That,
can I change my answer?
Yeah,
Draymond's leader guy.
Okay, so, but I think you're right. Like, not everybody has to be the same kind of leader. This group might respond differently. Luka may respond differently to a different type of leadership. And Kristaps may need a different kind of leadership. I do think that one of the things that you saw Kristaps doing and while he was on the bench, while he was observing, is he was there and you could see him in the huddle coaching. You could see him in the huddle, you know, talking to guys, discussing things with them. And so I think that he built a relationship with some of these guys of what their basketball knowledge should be, how they should approach the game and be part of the game.
Right.
And I think that you may see Kristaps become that kind of guy. He's been in the league for a little bit now, right? So he understands the way that this league works, and he's not going to back down to any player in the league at the moment. You saw Luka not do that. So it might be a different dynamic with this group. It'll be very different, though, not from what we're used to as Mavs fans, because we were spoiled.
Right.
Plain and simple, we were spoiled by Dirk. No team gets as lucky to have that kind of loyalty for so long. And even a guy, and when I say it, people be like, hold on, what about Kobe? Don't forget, on the way out, Kobe took $24 million with him. Dirk was like, I'll continue to take pay cuts so that they can try and add something. You know what? If we have to have a bad season on my way out, I'm okay with that so that this team can be something whenever I walk out the doors. And it looks like as Dirk leaves, they're going to become a contender again.
That's, you know what? That's awesome and everything along that lines. My one worry, and it's not about the fans. It's not about me saying who's the next Dirk. It's not about expecting to see the next Dirk. My worry is that maybe Carlisle, maybe Cuban, maybe they look and go, maybe one of these guys. Maybe they're hoping that they have found the next Dirk, and that's the reason for the big money. And you got to worry about that a little bit.
I see that. I can understand that they feel like, hey, we're reinvesting in Dirk. We're extending it because he's a tall Euro player.
Right.
Interesting. No, yeah. But I think that Donnie pointed out, they did their due diligence before the trade. They did their due diligence and understood some other things that were going on. They gave him the opportunity to rebuild his body during this this time that he, because they said he could have come back and played last year. Now maybe he comes back and plays, and that gets them out of position to even have the pick that they had last year. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it puts them in close to the playoffs, but not close enough. You know, like just really that close, because maybe he helps them go on a run. And I'm still, they didn't exactly know exactly what they wanted to do. I'm convinced that they were like, oh, we don't know if we want to be a failing team or not. But they gave him the opportunity to rest his body, come in healthy, and now they're going to give him the contract, and that's going to be a big deal. So here's what we're looking at. From now on, we got Luka and Kristaps. What are they adding? What are they adding to this thing? And I was looking at the big lead earlier today, and Colby, this guy says that the Kemba Walker player is the perfect fit for the Dallas Mavericks.
Okay.
And I will explain to you why, and I don't know if this is what the Mavericks' goal is going to be. And Reggie, I'd love for you to chime in on this too, because after watching as much of Luka as we watched this year, is there going to be a time when Luka says, yeah, I'll let somebody else be the ball handler? Because what he says is that, and Mark Stein talked about this earlier today, the Celtics and the Mavericks are the two teams that are leading the charge for Kemba Walker and getting him away from Charlotte right now. He said the Celtics have become the stealth team to go after him. They are these stealth suitors for Kemba Walker at the moment. But then this guy from the big lead, it's Kevin Gamgort, he says that this is the opportunity to have a true point guard, and Kemba needs that. He said, Luka, rising star, Kristaps doing what he does. The one thing they're lacking on the roster is a true point guard. And then he goes on to talk about how Luka can change his game, be more balanced, and be an equal threat both on and off the ball, rather than being the guy that is the main distributor of this offense. And that will make the Mavericks a more flexible offense and make them better at the same time.
I think it's a little bit of a short-sighted point, because we talk about Luka having been a pro before he got here. He played a lot of point previously. This is something that he is familiar with. However, I don't think that it's like a necessarily a bad idea in general. I know we always talk about putting the ball in Luka's hands, and we always point to Dennis Smith Jr. being somebody who took the ball out of Luka's hands. But personally, I think the biggest problem with having Dennis Smith Jr. at the same time with Luka Doncic was not that simply Dennis Smith Jr. had to have the ball in his hand. It's that if he didn't have the ball in his hands, he wasn't particularly effective.
He was a liability.
There you go. Kemba Walker is not a liability off ball. He may not be exactly the same player as when he's on ball, but he's not a liability. He is still a threat. So I think you can go with having two ball handlers and have both of them be able to run the offense. And that is something that is a viable option in today's NBA with how much on ball, pick and roll type actions that we run.
Now, Colby, I'm on board with what Reggie's saying there, because now I don't know if Kemba can be, because this is Kemba recreated himself as a player. You know, he was struggling, and Charlotte said, we're going to give you every opportunity. And he recreated himself as a player. He was the main ball handler for his team, but he was also the main leading scorer. And you talked about this the other night. He had to be the leading guy.
Somebody's got to make points.
Somebody had to do it.
Who's the best player that Kemba's played with? Because I think it might be Nicholas Batum.
That's not good enough.
Nope.
So when I look at this, we talked about the idea that Luka would be the main ball handler, and you run everything from there. You stack up with tall guys on defense. You're a better defending team. Get long there, and then also you can run the floor with Kristaps and him. But I do wonder, who's going to be the guy that's a threat when Luka has the ball in his hands? When it's time to distribute, who's going to knock down those shots? And if Kemba can be that guy, that's fine. But I don't think that they need a true point guard.
No.
I think they just need a scoring threat to go along with Luka, somebody who is an expert shooter. That's why Klay's the perfect guy for me, but I think we're all like, oh, Klay's perfect. Yeah, of course. But if they can't get Klay, what do they do then? And they're prepared. I think the number is like $220 million. The Mavs can't offer that. But they can do a lot of things to ensure that he gets the most that they can offer. So that's a possibility, is for the Mavs to go after him. And I don't, it's not my favorite move, but I think they'll be a good scoring team if they do it.
That's not anywhere near my favorite move. It's not anywhere near any part of moves that I want to do. I just can't see how that adding him to the team does anything better for you. I don't trust his stats. I don't know how else to say it. I do not trust his stats. You know what would make me happy? And he's not the greatest rebounder. That dude from Sacramento, Willie Cauley-Stein.
Yeah, we're going to get to him at 11:20.
I just messed up all of his name, but...
No, it was all there.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.